South Africans have more freedom after President Cyril Ramaphosa announced the country will move back to lockdown level 3. Most importantly is that inter-provincial travel will be allowed and the restriction on Gauteng lifted. The curfew will be adjusted from 10 at night to 4 in the morning. But certain regulations will remain in place, including a maximum of 50 people indoors and 100 outdoors. The president was also positive over the pace at which people are getting vaccinated. We discussed with the SA Medical Research Council president, Professor Glenda Gray. Professor Glenda, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum. Thank you very much for joining us. Professor Glenda, you know, your overall reactions to the president's speech last night, do you believe that it was the right decision taking the country back to level 3? Also the fact that we're still seeing some double-digit COVID infection figures?
I think it's important for us to move back into the level 3 because we do have an economy to revive. And I think the recent unrest in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng have also amplified the fact that people are very hungry, they're very discontent, and they're quite broken in terms of having no food and having lost their jobs. So I think it's the right thing to try and open up the economy. I think it's still important to make sure people are using masks, washing their hands, and keeping their social distance. I know it's winter, but to try and make sure that there's well ventilation in households where you mix. Importantly, too, is opening up the schools. It's very important to get our children back to school. They've never been the cause of any surge. And data from South Africa has never suggested that children are the reasons why there are surges in the country. So it's very important for us to get our children back to school, you know, get them functioning more, get schools opening and functioning better, and trying to restore the academic year.
Yes. The president seemed to be positive about the rate with which people are getting vaccinated in the country. Is the picture as positive as the president seemed to indicate, especially adding younger people to the vaccine registration list from September?
Well, that's a wonderful announcement to make sure that we can start opening up vaccination to everybody. Obviously, what it does mean is that we're not getting enough elderly and other people vaccinated, and that's the reason why we need to keep opening up slots for younger and younger people. But that also is important because it's the young people that are responsible for super spreading events, and it's the young people that move around a lot, and it's the young people that may make older people more vulnerable. So if we vaccinate those people, we may protect the elderly as well. And if we vaccinate young people, it also might instill confidence in people who are still hesitant about taking the vaccine.
Talking about vaccine hesitancy, a big problem that will, however, lead to vaccine hesitancy is the death of 28 people allegedly after receiving this jab. This is being investigated, but is this not another setback for vaccine hesitancy in the country?
Not at all. I think every death is important to investigate. 28 deaths, we need to know exactly what happened, whether they had COVID, whether they had any comorbidities, and whether it's the normal amount of people that die on a daily basis. So we have to take all that into account. And we've been, since we started rolling out the Sonke, the A26 J&J vaccine, we charted over time any deaths that were happening. And we always made, and it was always evident that we were never, ever, there were never, ever excess deaths due to vaccination. So when we charted our deaths over time, it was well below what we expected people to die for at that age, for that gender, in over the year. So we just have to make sure that we understand that, you know, a lot of people die from COVID every day. A lot of people die from lots of things like pulmonary embolus and deep vein thrombosis. So we just have to be careful that we don't attribute something that is a normal event to the vaccine. But very important for people who do die after receiving the vaccine, it's very important for us to do post-mortems and try and evaluate what happened, what went wrong.
Pfizer has announced that it may now be necessary for a third vaccination on top of the two South Africans are currently receiving. Does it mean that the Pfizer vaccination is already losing its potency?
I think it's another way to make money. There's no evidence that we need a third vaccine just yet. I think that's at this moment in time, there's no evidence. And maybe it's just another way of rich countries keeping their vaccines or another way of manufacturers to make money as they wrote it out. So I think what we have to do is our obligation to get everybody in the country at least one vaccine, and then a second vaccine, and then to look at the data at a global level to see whether anyone needs a third dose. I do suspect that we probably would need doses, you know, once a year going forward. But it's very important to make that decision based on data and not just a whim. And certainly the CDC and the FDA have already said that there's no evidence or requirement for a third dose.
For interest's sake, Professor Glenda, have we seen any people in South Africa who've been infected with the new Lambda variant?
Well, not yet, but we need to keep looking at it. That's very important. And so we need to keep up to date with our analysis of the variant. And obviously, as we go down now and as the surge dissipates, usually what predicts or what causes a surge is the emergence of a new variant of concern or a variant that has altered it in some way. So that's very important for us to continue to observe and make sure we understand what variant is circulating in our country, because we rapidly saw how quickly the Delta could overtake the Beta in this country. And so we have to make sure that we detect Lambda before it causes a pandemonium just like Delta did.
Yes, and talking about the pandemonium that Delta did create, are we out of the woods with regards to the third wave? Are we going to see infection numbers rise sharply after the looting and the chaos in KZN and Gauteng?
We're going to have to see that. Obviously, it's huge concerns. We've seen that although Gauteng has come down, it's about 10 days before you can evaluate what the impact of the looting and unrest did. Was spreading. We know that people who were incarcerated at the time were found also to be COVID positive. So it is likely that there has been some transmission happened. But please, we hope that it's not enough to cause a resurgence of the third wave. We still see some provinces are still in a Western Cape is plateaued, so we have to watch out very carefully. And there are some provinces that have increased slightly from yesterday's figures. So we just have to keep our eye on all of those figures and make sure that we try and roll out the vaccines as quickly as possible and be careful, even though we are on level 3.
Yes, certainly. Professor Glenda, it's always a pleasure having you on the airwaves of Radio Islam. Thank you very much for availing yourself.
Thank you very much. Have a good day and all keep safe and well. And get vaccinated.
Thank you. Go well. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.